Psalm 103. So Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Well, good morning. My name's Jason. I usually go along to 8:30 and 4:15. I do know most of you here. Some of you I don't. It's great to be able to meet together as God's people. If anybody has COVID in this room, it's likely to be me. So I'm sorry if I bring that to you. I've just arrived last night on a plane from Sydney, but I did do my rapid antigen test, so I'm 90% likely not to have it. It's interesting, like I think everybody's a bit worried by it at the moment, and I found that this psalm, as Chris was reading it and as we heard it at 8:30 this morning, I found it really kind of captured why there's so much anger and anxiety and confusion and fear. In verse 15, I think this is the reason why everybody's freaking out. It says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." I think the really good thing about this pandemic is it's brought that reality to bear in our lives, and everybody's super worried about it. But it's a reality that's always been there. If we fear God, however, the next verse says, we have his love from everlasting to everlasting. So we don't need to panic. We have peace with Christ. That's not even the sermon. It hasn't begun yet. So we'll pray and we'll ask God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, that it's with us from everlasting to everlasting in Christ. You're a great refuge and a great rock. And we pray that we'd rest our souls in you. And Father, we pray we'd hear your words here through King David in Psalm 103, and that you'd bring them to bear in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are, 2nd of January. Here we go again, another year of church. I feel like I wrote this 2 weeks ago before I left. It really captures my enthusiasm. Every new year presents a new opportunity to give up bothering with church. Another year of sacrifice Sundays, another year of giving up time to go to Bible study or bothering with ministry or going to meetings, blah, blah, blah. You just kind of drag yourself to it because you know it's the right thing to do. Every year, time seems to be more precious in my life, more rare. And so every year it gets harder and harder to justify continuing to meet together at church. Why do we do it? I mean, do we have to do this for the rest of our life? Is there some stage where we will have done enough Sundays that we can actually say, I've done enough Sundays, and then we can sort of sleep in or go to Bunnings? Well, the answer is, yes, we need to keep coming to church. We do. The reason why we do, I think, is in this psalm. In this psalm, really, the psalmist, he's basically saying we need to praise God in our life, and we know that, right? But the way to praise God is to not forget about him, to not forget about the things that he's done for us. And the way to not forget about him is to actually talk to one another and remind each other of what he's like and what he's done for us. So we come here, we gather here to do that, to remind each other of what God's like and to remind each other of what he's done for us, in the hope that we might hang in there in all that life throws at us to praise God. So let's do that now. Let's look at this psalm. It's loaded with reasons to praise God. We need to remember what God's done for us so that we'll praise his name. That's really the first part of this psalm. We need to remember what he's done for us. Have a look from verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So here's the psalmist. He starts off, and I love it because I can relate to this, because I don't always feel like praising God. But here he starts off and he's like whipping himself down the home straight to praise God. He's willing himself from the center of himself to the outside of himself, from his inmost to his outskirts, to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the very depths of my person, through all my person. Come on, let's do this. He wants to praise God, which means to credit God with his greatness. He wants his soul and all himself to acknowledge God's greatness. The opposite of that, the opposite of praising God, this psalm teaches us, is forgetting about him. It's forgetting all his benefits. One minute, you're praising God in church, you're reminding yourself of what he's done for you. Next minute, you're walking outside, you're thinking about shopping or sport or cases. That's forgetting about God. That's the opposite of praising God. Well, why would we praise God? Well, because we remember his benefits. The psalmist reminds his readers of all God's benefits from verse 3. He says, the Lord forgives all your sins, he heals all your diseases, he redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. The psalmist here, King David, he's saying, take stock. Make a list, kids. What's he done for us? Let's remember why he's praiseworthy. He's forgiven, he's healed countless times, he's lifted, he's covered over, he's been compassionate, he's given so much satisfaction, he's enabled my youth to be renewed. David says, praise the Lord for what he's done. Think about what he's done for you. Lift up your eyes to praise God. If you don't remember what God has done, you will not praise him. And so David says, remember it. It's easy to forget someone's significance by forgetting what they've done. Like the kids this morning, couldn't even remember who made breakfast for them. Maybe it didn't happen. I'm not saying it didn't. But when we forget someone's benefits to us, we forget about them, don't we? Like, who here knows who Willis Carrier is? Just give me a little nod if you know who Willis Carrier is. Yeah, not many. There should actually be a statue to him in Townsville. You probably don't know who he is because you don't know what he's done for you. But once you know what he's done for you, you won't forget who he is. In 1902, Willis Carrier invented the first air conditioner. You're sitting in here, you're bathing in his goodness. You do not even know his name. We should have a statue to him on top of Castle Hill. How great is this guy? Because you don't know what he did for you, you don't know anything about him. But now maybe when you remember his benefits, you'll think, Lord, thank you so much for Willis Carrier. He should be our national saint in Townsville. So how much more, given that God created Willis Carrier, ought we to praise God for what he's done for us? You know, David couldn't see as clearly what the Lord had did for him as we can see what the Lord has done for us, this side of the incarnation, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much has God done for us? We know that through faith in Jesus' death on the cross, All our sin can be forgiven. All of it. Even the sin that we carry over from before we became Christian that we can't shake. The sins that we're ashamed of that we've never shared with anyone else. The sins that only the people closest to us know about. The sins that somehow we would love to never see the light of day. Jesus has dealt with all of those. We're washed. That's a benefit we have. And it's a great one. We know that apart from answering our prayers from healing from time to time, that even though we face the grave, one day we'll have good and new and perfect and forever bodies. That's a benefit we have in Christ. God's done that for us. Even though the doctor cuts a bit of our skin out, one day we'll get it back. In Christ, we have perfect futures in store. We know that Christ has redeemed us from the empty way of life we used to live in. You know, our life used to be about Christmas Day, about eating and drinking and forgetting about the rest of life. That was the whole purpose of our life. We moved from one weekend to the next. In Christ, we know we live for God's glory. We live to be loved by God and to love one another. We have redemption from the empty way of life that was handed down from us. We know that God satisfies our desires with good things. You know, I had cherries, I had lychees, I had mango on Christmas Day. I savour the taste of those sweet stone fruits. God gave me all of that. Every relationship, every good thing we have comes from above. We know that through Christ, even though we grow old, one day we'll soar on wings like eagles. God's given us all of this in Christ. And we easily forget it. We easily walk away from church. We don't think about it. I don't think there are many days in the last 2 weeks where I thought of all the benefits God's given me in Christ. Yet when we remember them, we so quickly remember why we need to praise him. We need to help each other to praise him as well by reminding each other of what he's done for us. But more than just remembering what he's done for us, the psalmist goes on to say, we need to remember his essential character. We need to remember what he's actually like. Because when we remember what he's like, we'll definitely want to praise him. Have a look at what he's like from verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. So the Lord is worthy of praise because he does what is right for those who are otherwise wronged. For those who are wronged, God does what is right. For those who are weary and burdened, God provides rest to them. God lifts up the oppressed. This is what God's like. This is just part of his character. The Lord is worthy of praise because verse 8 and 9 say, he showed the Israelites that he was full of faithfulness and compassion. This little section here, verse 8 to 10, it's a quote from Exodus. In Exodus, God delivered Israel, the people of God, out of slavery in Egypt. But even though he did that, as soon as they got out, they made some idols of golden calves to worship instead of God. Yet instead of completely wiping out Israel, do you know what God said to Israel through Moses? Well, it's quoted here in verse 8 to 10. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The Psalms are saying this is what God is like. He's full of grace and compassion. His love and faithfulness are endless. He could have destroyed Israel, but that's not what he's like. This is his character. Verse 11 says, for those who fear him, he loves. What does it mean to fear God? Well, I think it means to tremble in awe of him. But unlike fearing something like a ghost, you don't run away with this fear. This fear draws you near. You tremble and you come near dependent upon mercy. When it says fear God, I think it means understanding what he's like and what you're like next to him. When it says fear God, if you get how great he is and how majestic and powerful and perfect he is and how you're not, I think that's fearing God. When you get that you're dependent on his mercy for your very existence, I think that's fearing God. And when you fear him, he doesn't take advantage of you, but from verse 11, instead, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. This is like Buzz Lightyear would say, to infinity and beyond. He's removed our transgressions. He's loved us. If we fear him, if we understand where we stand next to him, he forgives us and he loves us, not just a little, but to infinity and beyond. This is because God understands where we stand next to him. Even though we might not fully understand where we stand next to God, he understands where we are in comparison to him. Verse 13 says, like a father knows and has compassion on his children because of their lowly state, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Verse 14 says, he knows how we're formed. He remembers we're dust. We're mortal. We're like grass. God's not like that. We are. One minute we're here, the next minute a hot wind blows and we're gone. God knows what we're like, and so he loves us. A bit like, you know, your four-year-old kid might win a gold medal at the kindergarten Olympics that they have every 4 years. I can remember when one of our kids won that, and I was like, yeah, good on you, buddy, because they all got gold medals, right? But you kind of love them. And even though they feel like they're really awesome, you know they're just a four-year-old kid who's got a participation medal, right? You know what they're like. And you love them because of their vulnerable weakness. God knows what we're like. We're just piles of dust. He doesn't love us because, like, we rock up to him and go, hey, look, I'm the best pile of dust. Out of all the piles of dust, I'm the best pile of dust. I think sometimes we think that. That's the basis upon which God receives us. No, he loves us because he made us and he formed us for his glory. If we understand that, then we fear him. His love is with us from everlasting to everlasting, verse 17 says. This is what God is like to the lowly, the oppressed, those who get their position. He's like this not just to the people in Israel, but to everybody under his reign, which is the whole earth. The psalmist says, this is what God is like. He loves the lowly who come to him in fear and trembling. He forgives, he's compassionate, he's full of grace. Why wouldn't you praise him? A few years ago, my family went to Movie World on holidays. If you've never taken your family to Movie World and SeaWorld, don't do it. Anyway, my two big boys convinced me to go on the Scooby-Doo Spooky Coaster with them. I absolutely abhor rides. I detest rides. I don't get it. I don't understand why people would want to do it. Anyway, they'd been on all the other rides, and I asked them what this one was like. I've got a dodgy back, you know, I don't want to hurt it. And they said to me, oh, it's fine, Dad. It's totally fine. I said, it's not jerky. And they're like, no, it's all good. Anyway, it was a jerk fest. It was like going backwards and forwards. It was a little bit scary because it was in the dark. I didn't know which way I was going. I got off there and I was filled with rage and back spasms towards my two teenage boys. I will not go near the Scooby-Doo Spooky Coaster ride again, nor will I encourage other people with bad backs to do it, because I know what it's like, right? I know what it's like, so I'm warning you off here and now. The psalmist, it's the opposite for him. The Lord is the opposite. For the lowly, the oppressed, the humble, those who fear the Lord, he says, come near, sit under his wing. You have his love, you have his everlasting compassion. There is no one more worthy of acknowledging the greatness of than the Lord. And again, we read this through the lens of God's work in Christ. You know, we sit on the privileged side of history. He thought about the forgiveness of sins. King David, in light of that incident he had with Bathsheba, we think about the forgiveness of sins in light of our whole life, and we know that God's shown us compassion in Christ. He's redeemed us from the grave. We know God's compassion in a way that King David could only ever have imagined. We see in Jesus what King David could only have longed to see. Now, God hasn't changed with the coming of Christ. We just see it more clearly. Jesus himself says, Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I'll give you rest. The invitation is still there. We're told Jesus looked at the crowds in Jerusalem and he saw they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. God is still the same towards us today. The Apostle John says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would live even though they die. We read later on in the New Testament, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What is God like today? Is he still praiseworthy? Of course he is. He's full of compassion and grace and love, everlasting for those who fear him. That's why we need to remind each other of what he's like. And so the psalmist finishes by commanding everything and everyone in existence to praise God. And then he commands himself to again. He's like, come on, get up. Praise him. If we know what God's done for us, if we remember what he's like, this is our responsibility too. We actually have the job of reminding each other of what God is like. Yesterday, you might have been thinking about the spread of the pandemic in Townsville. Yesterday, you might have been thinking about how glad you are that Christmas is over because you're worn out from your family. Yesterday, you might have been mourning for not seeing your family over Christmas. Yesterday, you might have been thinking work's about to start up. But today, here you are, and you're being reminded of what God is like and what he's done for you. That's why it's important for us to meet together every week at church. That's why we have to keep doing it till the end. We don't come here to get a sense of euphoria from my fantastic kids' song actions. We're not here for the buzz that we get from meeting together. We're here out of a sense of commitment. We turn up for one another to spur one another on. We're actually basically here to say, when nobody else is saying to us every week of our life and every day of our life, we're here to say, don't forget what God has done for you and don't forget what he's like. This is why we meet together. I had the privilege of talking to an elderly lady from church who's going through a bit of a hard time a couple of weeks ago. And she's just unable to come along to church during this season of her life. And there are actually quite a number of people like this in our church family. Anyway, it's super tough to hang in there with God and to remember what he's like when you're going through a hard time like that. And it's even tougher when you can't come to church. And so how important is it for this lady and the others like her that we go to them? We have to go and meet with people when they can't come to church to remind them of what God is like and what he's done for them. This is why it's super important for Christians to check up on one another when we're unwell. And when you do go and visit this lady or anybody else who can't make it along and you remind them of what God's like and what he's done for them, it actually lifts up their soul. It genuinely impacts them. The word church doesn't mean building in the Bible, it means gathering. And so even when people can't come in here, we can go out there to remind them of what God has done for them and what he's like. But you know, there are people who can turn up to church every week who are having a hard time as well. They might not be dependent upon 24-hour hospital care. But there could be people in this room whose marriages are on the edge of breakdown. There could be people in this room who have just received a diagnosis that's rotten, or their parents have, or their kids have. There could be people in this room who are worried about losing their job or their house and who are wondering what the point of it all is. But they've come here in the hope that you might remind them of the benefits they have in Christ and what the character of the God who made them is like. Just by coming to this room today and standing in front of them or behind them and singing praises to God, you've spurred them on in their faith. You've willed them to praise God. This is why we have to keep turning up. Not for ourselves, but for one another. You know, there are lots of Sundays I haven't wanted to go to church in my life. And I've actually never met anybody who's wanted to go to church every Sunday of their life. And even if you told me you did, I would not believe you. But we don't turn up here for the feeling. We turn up here because we love one another. Not in the you make me feel good way. Sometimes some of you make me feel terrible. We turn up here because we're committed to one another. The word love in this psalm, it's from the Hebrew word chesed, which means faithful commitment. We have a faithful commitment to one another. We turn up and we say to each other, don't forget what God is like. Don't forget what he's done for you. and praise him for it. That's why we're here, brothers and sisters, and every Sunday we are here is better for the rest of us than the Sunday we're not. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us to continue to remind each other of what he's like. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you are like and what you have done for us, Lord. We do want to praise you for it. But Lord, sometimes we forget and we need reminding. Sometimes we're swamped. Sometimes Satan is at work in our life to make us forget and to lead us away from you. Help us to realize the importance of meeting together this year, Lord, and for the rest of our life, to remind each other of what you're like and what you've done for us in the Lord Jesus, that we might praise you today and in the days to come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.